Time Taylor preached out of 2 Peter chapter 1, and you might want to go ahead and turn your books back to that chapter again. 2 Peter chapter 1. He started his sermon from verse 16 and went on down to the following verses on from there, and we saw and looked at some of the evidence of our faith. He studied and then went to other places to see there was categories of evidences of our faith. But this morning I want to start our sermon by looking at some of the verses ahead of that. Just ahead of where he started with verse 16. We're going to start this morning by looking at verses 12 through 15. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 12 through 15, and see what Peter says here about himself and about what he's trying to teach these people about the faith, what he's trying to teach us. He says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it good, I think it necessary, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that I may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." So the things that he was telling them about their faith, the evidences that he was providing for them, and also the things that he had told them about faith in the verses ahead of this, they were things that they knew. But they were things that he thought it necessary, he thought it good, that they would have a remembrance of them, that they would be reminded of them. He said that he would not neglect to always have these things as a remembrance, to remind them of the things that they already knew. He wanted people to remember what they believed. He wanted them to remember why they believed them. And last time, Taylor looked at a lot of the evidences, a lot of the things that Peter was putting forth as to why they believed what they believed, why they had reason for the faith. And this morning, I want us to have a remembrance of what we believe, what it is that we believe, and what does that mean to us? As you see that he's talking this, this applies to us as he talks about it as he starts the first, as also Taylor noticed that last time. He says that to those that have like precious faith. He's writing this to those that have a faith that's like his. Like precious faith. Precious tells us of its worth. The same faith, the same as valuable as Peter's faith. That's what he wants for us. That's who he's addressing this letter to, those who have a faith the same as his and as valuable as his. And you notice also in verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Through the knowledge of God, we have grace and peace. Our faith and our knowledge should produce something in us. He says here, grace and peace. It should have an effect on us. The fact, our knowledge should have an effect on us. That should produce some effect. Should bring an effect that we can see. Something should come of our faith. And it's important to be sure, to be fully persuaded of what we believe in and have that faith to have an effect on us. As we're here in Second Peter, and he's talking about faith. We also want to notice he talks about the promises of God and some things, but if you notice in verse 5, he says, and besides this, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And he goes on to list a lot of things about growing, things that we should add to ourselves. But what we want to notice here is how he talks about faith. He starts off about faith, and he comes back to our faith later and a remembrance. But he wants us to add to it. And don't just stop with just, oh, well, they convinced me, yeah, that looks right. I've been convinced, and that's enough. Be more than convinced. Don't just stop with being convinced, but be fully persuaded in our faith and add to our faith. Be converted and be changed. Be convicted and continue to add and grow. And he says to give all diligence. I think any time in the Bible when we read this, to give all diligence, we need to stop and take special note. Give all diligence. Diligence, that means serious. Serious and a constant effort. A constant attention to something. A serious effort that you put forth to give diligence. It means this is something that we need to make sure and be serious about. We need to watch ourselves and be careful that we don't fail to do this, that we're not negligent. Give diligence to it. And I hope today that our remembrance of some of these things that we're going to go over today, I hope that this is some way part of this diligence to add to our faith, that our faith would grow. We want to be more than just convinced, but be converted. An example of a weak faith. We have an example of people with a weak faith that didn't change even though they were convinced of something from the Bible. In John chapter 12 and verse 42 and 43 it says this, nevertheless among the chief rulers also many believed on him. So he was talking about these that believe on Christ. He said, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. It said they believed. But yet still, they loved the praise of men more than God. How can it be that we believe in God? How can it be that we have a belief, but it causes no action? It causes no change. These people were not allowing change. Do you think if they believed in God that they were living happy by hiding their faith? What kind of life would that be to hide your faith like that? To continue to go on and not allow yourself to be changed. To not be converted. Converted means changed. Our faith should have a change in us. It should change us. It should produce something from us. But they were refusing to be changed by what they might believe. Remember also how that Peter was told that when he was converted to strengthen his brethren. Converted or changed. Jesus told him, but I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. See, he had faith, but that it would fail not. But when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren, he tells him. Faith, what we believe, should bring forth a change in us. You can think something true without having a strong faith in it. And James talks about a faith that's a dead faith. In James chapter 2, James chapter 2, he talks a lot about a dead faith. You could read a lot of verses here about this and to get an understanding. But we'll just read this morning some of these as to what he said about the fact that you could have a dead faith. In verse 17, James chapter 2, it says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? This is a vain, addressing this to a vain man, an empty man, or a useless man. Sometimes this word is translated foolish man. Wouldn't you know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? It should bring a reaction. Our faith should bring a reaction from us, our belief. Hypocrites would confess things that they truly did not believe. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 7, he says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." So Jesus is talking about the generation that was around him then, the people that was there. And he said that Isaiah had prophesied of them, that they draw nigh with their mouth, and with their lips they praised God and they worshiped Him, but not with their hearts. It wasn't truly coming from within them. And so this morning I want us to look at some beliefs that we know, some things that we know have a difficult time acting on them. Some things that we might say that we know to be true, but do we act like we really believe them? For these beliefs should bring forth some action in us. First belief, the belief that there is a God. What kind of response should there be from this belief? Belief that there is a God. If there is a God, then we should seek to know Him. We should study to understand Him. We should worship Him. He's our Creator. A God that created all that we see around us and created us. Do we really believe that? If we believe that, what response would come from us? To seek, to study, and to worship. In Romans chapter 1, he talks about people there who have lots of problems, and he says several things that though they might believe, they didn't. When they knew God, they didn't regard Him as God. He also says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 24, he says, verse 24, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Look at verse 25, "who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now, let's notice this. He says that they serve the creature more than the Creator. Now, there's folly in this. And I think we might could just read over this without realizing that he is showing how wrong and how absurd that this would be. That there would be someone as powerful as God. There would be a Creator. And yet we would worship the creature that was created. And yet we would change God and try to ignore what we knew to be true, the great Creator. Instead of trying to search and find out more about Him, which would be a response, a proper response to the belief that there is a God. But instead we worship and serve. We serve the things that were created more than the Creator. Another belief we'll go on to, a belief that God loves us and will take care of us. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God loves us and that God will take care of us? If so, how should we respond if we believe that? How should we respond? Would we respond with worrying over problems in this life? Not if we believe that God loves us and will take care of us. We believe that He is the Creator of all things. If we believe that God loves us, we won't worry about these things. We won't worry about problems. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." We won't have troubled hearts But he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Our belief keeps us from worrying. Our belief in God keeps us from having troubled hearts. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus also is teaching us here. And he says in Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 4. Luke chapter 12 and verse 4. He says, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and afterward that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which is able to kill. Fear him which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And are not one of them forsaken before God? He says, but even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. See, there's comfort in knowing that God loves us and has a great value for us. And we would not fear the things of this world, realizing that God will take care of us. We would not fear people of this world, but we would only fear God and obey Him. Do you believe? Do you have these beliefs that there is a God? Do you believe that God loves us and will take care of us? You know, there's a difference between knowing something, just knowing it or being convinced that something is true, and actually putting trust and belief, having faith in it. Another belief, a belief that God knows what's best for us. Do we believe that? That God knows what's best for us? Our response should be to trust and to obey. If God knows what's best, we would trust and obey, and we believe that. He knows what's best for me. The things that He tells me are right. They're best for me. Then we would obey those things. We would trust in Him when we believe that. We would not be discouraged over the problems of this life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3 says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. So he's warning them there that they're going to have these afflictions and they're going to have hard times. He says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, but yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that ye should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. So he was telling them that they're going to have problems, and that not to be discouraged over these things, but to know that God had said it was going to happen, and to trust Him through it. Do we have that kind of faith? Do you have the kind of faith that we can look at problems? We can look at things that we know that are hard upon us, sufferings in this life, and trust God right on through the problem. To trust Him right through the hard time, to continue believing in Him that He knows what's best. That's the kind of faith that we need to have. To just know that God has appointed these things unto us. These things of life that we might not have chosen for ourselves, He's appointed those to us. And trust in Him that they'll be for our own good. That God can work out all things for good. Do you believe that God knows what's best for you? Do you believe that? Then you won't disobey His commandments. If you believe that, you will obey God. You will believe the things that He tells you to do are best for you. 1 John chapter 5, in verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? It's through our faith that we overcome. It's through our faith that we see the commandments of God as not grievous. It's through our love for God that we keep His commandments. And He says those commandments are not grievous, but this is how that we overcome the world, is by following His commandments. This is how we have victory over the world, by keeping God's commandments through our faith. When we have this kind of faith, we won't see God's commandments as being a problem for us. They won't be a burden for us. They won't be something that's been put upon us as grievous and we don't like them. But we will see them as guidance, as good guidance, as wise counsel, good instruction for us to live by, to be thankful for guidance that directs us. And Isaiah explains this about the counsel of God. This is the Lord speaking to the children of Israel in Isaiah 48:17, where they didn't want to keep His commandments. They had not seen His commandments as being wise and good instruction for them. Isaiah 48:17-18. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened unto my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as waves of the sea. Oh, that they had kept those commandments. He said, God was telling them here, I taught you how to be profitable. I taught you how to profit. I showed you the way that you should go. But they didn't keep those commandments. Oh, that you had hearkened unto my commandments, that you had peace like a river. That your peace had been like a river. Righteousness as the waves of the sea. We've got to regard God's instruction as good counsel. Psalms, the book of Psalms, says many times about the wise counsels of God and seeking after His guidance and His counsel. And also Proverbs teaches us many times about God's instructions being wise counsel to us. That teaches us of the right kind of attitude that we will have towards the commandments of God when we have the right kind of perspective of faith. When we realize the basic truth that God loves us and He knows what's best for us. And more than just knowing that, but realizing it with faith and believing it, trusting in that. And when we don't do that, when we go against God, when we go against His commandments, we do it to our own hurt. Proverbs 21:39 says, a wicked man hardened his face, but the upright, he directed his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against God. Nothing against God. We can't have a counsel against God, or a better understanding, or make any kind of judgment that's against God. He knows what's best. And when we know that He knows what's best for us, when we have faith in that, we won't desire the things that He's forbidden, which is lust. Faith, when we have that right kind of faith, that strengthens us to obey Him and to trust in Him, to not to disobey and not to desire the things that He has forbidden from us. Faith in God's provision is the way to overcome lust. Another belief that we want to look at is belief that we will live eternally. What would be our response to that? Do we believe it? Do we really believe that we have a soul that lives eternally? Jesus said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Do we really believe that we have a soul that lives eternally? If so, what is our response? What should be our response? What is the right response for someone who believes that we will live eternally? That we will lay up treasures in heaven. We know this is what Jesus taught. He said, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Do you believe that you will live eternally? Do you know that you have treasure laid up for heaven, laid up in heaven? Do you believe that? Do you put faith in that and put trust and live that way? Calls an action from you by knowing that. Colossians, speaking about the same thing, about our affections on things above, says this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "For ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Are we Christians and are we people of God? He said, if ye be risen with Christ, then we will seek those things where Christ is, things above. He says, set not your affection on things, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ, with Christ in God. With Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So that's the right kind of response for a Christian, for someone that believes that we live eternally, and we have a soul that will live on. As you think, I've used this before, where Jim Elliot is quoted as saying that you are not a fool to give up what you cannot keep, to gain what you cannot lose. Do you believe? Does that belief create the proper response from you? Do you believe that we are sons of God and that Christ came to save us from sin? If we believe that Christ came to save us from sin, what will be our response? To resist sin? To purify ourselves? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he says just this. He's making this very point that because of our belief, because we know these things, then there should be a response. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." And then going on to read, he said, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." When we have a hope in us that Christ has come to save us from our sin, and that we will someday be like Christ and see him as he is, everyone that has this hope purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of law. For our faith gives us strength to resist sin. Our faith and our understanding. We need to think about our faith and think about and have that remembrance that we talked about to start with, to stop and think and have a remembrance of what we believe, what response should come from that belief. Bring your faith to life. And don't have a dead faith that James talked about. A life, a faith that will produce a result in us. Prove your faith. Try and test yourself. Know your own strength, your faith. And that's our sermon for you this morning.